When I first met Heather, she told me about a book she had read about a baby who, a human baby who had been raised with wolves. Is that right? Two sisters. And these two sisters thought they were wolves. So when they were first introduced to the reality of their humanness, they really couldn't relate to that. But that didn't take away from the reality that they are human. Do you see what I mean? They're already human. They don't need to do anything to get to be human. They already are human. And their assumption, their belief assumption that they were a wolf was just due to the perceptions arising in their awareness. That's all they were seeing, so that's what they took to be the case about themselves. Do you get the parallel here? We don't have to do anything to be who we are. We already are who we are. The nature of our own awareness that is vast as infinite space is already the case, and if we've taken ourselves to be anything other than that, it's simply a matter of relaxing more and more, just relaxing more and more, resting naturally in the immediacy of whatever is arising as that becomes more and more comfortable. So, you know, there are lots of things we can say about ourselves. There are lots of things we may have taken ourselves to be, but it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. There only is the vast expanse of awareness, inclusive of all of its own phenomena, perceptions, or points of view. That's all there is. And all of these points of view or perceptions are a vast expanse of equalness and evenness. There's no one perception that can somehow control all of awareness, like an ego or a personal identity, an I, a me, or a mine. There's no repository for perceptions called ordinary consciousness or ordinary mind or manifest mind, non-manifest mind. All of these things are simply points of view and awareness. So if we spend any time living on the planet of needing to get rid of a personal identity, then we'll spend our entire lives doing that because there's never been a personal identity to get rid of. So we can't come into direct contact, into the direct experience of that reality of who we are, unless we simply rest naturally, rest freely, rest in an entirely uncontrived way in the immediacy of our own reality. And what that means is we are awareness. And that's just something convenient to call who we are. Awareness, and it is a vast, wholly positive basic space in which everything else is included. So our nature is wholly positive basic space that is entirely aware. Included in that is whatever there is. Whatever there is. So if we say, well, we label that thing a thought that's arising, that thought is inseparable from awareness, like the color blue is inseparable from the sky. It's not like there's awareness over here and a thought over here. Awareness is the thought. So there's no thought to get rid of. There's no state that needs to be reached, like a state of nothingness, non-conceptual thought, no self, even bliss or clarity. Any of these are just other points of view. They're just another anomaly of point of view. Freedom is freedom as every perception. Freedom is every perception with nothing excluded. No conduct to be rectified, no meritorious actions to be undertaken, no special thoughts to have that are synonymous with awareness. no negative thoughts to get rid of in order to be more aware. None of that is the case. If that were the case, it wouldn't be freedom. So, you know, many of us perhaps come here to this room having been seekers for a very long time. And really all that occurs in this room is that gradually and sometimes suddenly we realize exactly who we are. That's all that happens here for many people. And it's, you know, it's unerring. The search is completely over when you show up here, if you stick around. And, you know, usually when people come for the first time, there might be all kinds of thoughts like, well, that's ridiculous. How can that be? I've been searching forever. It seems so hard. Or or whatever it is. But the doubts fall away, because the doubts only are an appearance of our very own awareness. So there's no reason to give them any special credence. A doubt is just another appearance of awareness. A rainbow in the sky is a rainbow in the sky. It's nothing but pure space. So all perceptions, no matter what they are like a rainbow appearing in awareness, you know, no matter how much we might try to make something out of a rainbow, we never can. We can say, oh, it's beautiful, I love it, I want to find the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, I'm going to separate all the colors, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. We can make a tremendous story out of everything going on with the rainbow, but the reality is the rainbow is pure space. The rainbow is pure space. So we can take any word in the dictionary, no matter what it is, and it's a rainbow. It's a mirage. You know, it's nothing but pure space. If we take a mirage and we look at all of its elements, say we're in the Thar Desert and we forgot our Kinley water, we're very thirsty, so all of a sudden we see a mirage. Well, it might have a water well and a palm tree and a nice chair to sit in, a tent to shelter us from the sun. But no matter how much we wanted to partake in any of that, it would be impossible because it's a mirage. We could never make anything out of it in its totality. We could never make anything out of any of its elements. And such is the case with all of our perceptions. They're like a mirage. None is better or worse. There's no perception that needs to be made into anything else in order to be aware of who we are. All we can do is relax. Relax as our own perceptions without splitting off our awareness from those perceptions. So, you know, when these perceptions come up, it's like the flight path of an airplane in the sky. It just disappears, leaving no trace. The flight path of a bird in the sky disappears, leaving no trace. We may have taken a point of view to be something doesn't need, we may need to continue to do so. But, you know, the more we rest naturally free as the immediacy of every perception, the more it just doesn't matter. You know, we rest without trying to do so. It doesn't matter what we're thinking, what our emotional state is, what our circumstances is. We're entirely free. We don't need a special state to get into in order to be free. We don't need to twist our body into any particular posture. We don't need to twist our thoughts into a particular posture or our emotional states either. And this can only come about through uncontrived rest. It can't come about in any other way. The more we effort to try to make ourselves into awareness, the more we're off on a detour. What we are, we already are. And, you know, sometimes I liken what occurs here to cracking a safe. If you haven't cracked a safe yourself, you've probably seen a movie or a TV show where someone's cracking a safe. And they might have their stethoscope and they're listening as all the tumblers click this way and that way. And it's as simple as that. You know, we realize who we are. We have many realizations along the way about that. None of those realizations is an arrival point or destination. It's just we feel more and more spacious, more and more expansive, until nothing bothers us anymore. We're just the vast expanse of infinite space, and our life is one of unalterable joy. So, you know, it's as simple as that. And that what we might call complete enlightenment is the reality of holy, positive, basic space. And all that means is that it is complete enlightenment equals complete benefit. The more we rest as the vast reality of who we are, the more obvious it becomes we've never needed to learn anything. We've never needed to learn anything. All is already known. All is already known in unimaginable ways. We find ourselves able to be and live in a way that we had never dreamt possible. So, you know, when we read things in books, like we read about someone walking through a wall or flying into space or having knowledge of all sacred treatises or whatever we read about anyone who has ever lived, those things are true about us as well. All we are is this vast expanse that contains all knowledge. And we can't learn how to be that. We already are that. It only comes about through uncontrived rest. Complete freedom as every single perception. And all that means is when a thought comes up, it's an appearance in, of, as, and through awareness. That's all. That's all that it is. It's only the dynamic energy of awareness. Awareness isn't split off into emptiness or presence or just its energy. Awareness is inseparably all three. So if we try to make awareness into anything like presence or now or emptiness or dynamic energy, whatever it is, then we take up a frame of reference about what awareness is. But when we just relax, we live as that incredible reality of the inseparability of all three at once. The thought itself, the perception itself, is entirely empty of any origin other than awareness. It has no origin that's independent of awareness. And at the same time, it's naturally present. No one could deny that a thought, say of a tree or even something non-conceptual, is naturally present. There's a vivid reality of that natural presence. And then its energy or activity is also very obvious. You know, there's something there, but at the same time, there's no movement. So we can't really say that it moves or doesn't move or is or isn't or anything else. There's no destination or arrival point. So, you know, when we talk about our own awareness, we talk about what is unborn about us, what is entirely unborn, what has no source or origin, what's entirely uncreated. And what is entirely uncreated doesn't dwell anywhere. It doesn't dwell in any kind of a state, like no thought, no self, emptiness, even bliss or clarity. It doesn't dwell anywhere. Where would the personal identity be of the unborn? Where could we find a personal identity in the unborn? If we took anyone here and say we took Shoshana and we decided, oh, we're going to find the personal identity of Shoshana, And we're going to absolutely prove that Shoshana has a personal identity. And we could all get together in the room. We'd surround Shoshana. We'd all take a look at her. And we'd look for Shoshana-ness in Shoshana. Somewhere in Shoshana, we were determined to find Shoshana-ness. And we could look at the skin, and we could look at the all those little dancing hairs all over the skin. We could look at the blood vessels. We could look at the bones and the muscles. We could look at all the organs of the body. But if we looked at each one of those things, we wouldn't find Shoshana-ness anywhere. We wouldn't find a trace of a personal identity. No matter if we searched high and low, if we searched forever, we could bring in an enormous electron microscope and put Shoshana under it, and all we would see were subatomic particles, electrons that all look exactly alike. And we could bring in everyone in the world, and we could bring in Shoshana's mother, and she wouldn't see Shoshana there. So you see, then we could take all those electrons, we could put them in a linear accelerator and just smash them beyond anything visible into light and sound. And still, we wouldn't find Shoshana-ness. So all of this, all the light and sound of everything that is just an appearance of our own awareness. The constant in everything we just described, where we looked into Shoshana to find her Shoshana-ness, the constant is awareness. Awareness is the root of every experience we just walked through. So our awareness is the root of everything, no matter what it is that appears within it, it's equal to awareness, not something other than awareness. So, you know, if we've taken ourselves to be a wolf, it doesn't mean we are one. And there's no wolf to get rid of, you see. If we keep focusing on the wolf, we'll never... If the child who lived with the wolves kept focusing on the wolf, then it would be impossible to realize the humanness. But when the child simply relaxes its humanness and exposes itself to more and more of the reality of what humanness is, that naturally comes about. So, you know, this is... it's very easy. If we think it's hard, then we're on the wrong track. It's just so very easy. And the Great Freedom Teaching is just a simple description of how to learn that we were never a wolf. We are who we are, and the more that we expose ourselves to that, the more evident that reality is. So, yeah. The Great Freedom Teaching just speaks that in a language that any human being can understand. There aren't any terms that are terms that any human being on earth wouldn't understand. So, you know, this, it's important. Who we are, we are. It's directly accessible. It's not locked up in any kind of religious or spiritual category or philosophical or scientific or anything else. If we wanted to find a commonality about awareness, it would be humanness rather than any of these categories that require us to take on a special persona, another one. So, you know, when we just relax, with all these perceptions, no matter what they are, they're here, there, and everywhere, like firecrackers filling the sky. But just like each spark of a firecracker dissolves instantaneously in pure space, so all of our perceptions are exactly the same. And when we rest naturally in the immediacy of just one perception, we taste that conclusively. It is so definitively conclusive in us. When whatever perception comes up, we simply rest as the origin of that perception, awareness. And in that, we naturally see that we are that perception. It's not anything separate from awareness. It just appears, abides, and disappears instantaneously in, of, as, and through awareness. And when we do so, when we rest in that way, when we rest naturally, totally naturally, freely, without contriving anything, without describing anything, without seeking anything, we see in a very decisive way that awareness is all there is in that perception. Awareness is all there is. And we see that that perception vanishes without a trace, and that the next perception also occurs as that awareness. But see, if we think that we have to work to try to get to that, to some kind of state called awareness, then we're going to constantly be trying to rearrange all of our points of view in order to contrive a state. Life's a lot more fun than that. Pietro, would you like to speak today? You mentioned to me last night that you might want to do that.
Welcome everybody. I'm just so happy that everybody's here, everybody that is here, because this is such a great place to be in. Yeah, what can I say? I don't know how to start, but I kind of came here with no expectations, and just some of my friends told me that there was a nice satsang to go to. And I went once, and then the day after the course, the 12 inquiry course started, so I just kind of felt that I wanted to do it. I didn't really know why, but I kind of had a good feeling about it. And it showed out to be great, like absolutely like nothing I have ever experienced before. So the course was 11 days, and it just seems like such a long time ago. It just seems like my life was so totally different from then. It's amazing. So what did I realize during this course? I don't know how to begin, but as I was born into this world, or you know, physically born, you grow up and you kind of receive and ask for all of these points of views. You know, you get them from people and you ask for them, and you know, and you just take those points of views and kind of put them on a wall to have some kind of security about who you are. Like, okay, I'm a woman. I just put it here so I can keep myself reminded of that I'm a woman and all that goes along with it. And once you have like one point of view, there's suddenly like 100 more connected to that one, right? Like, I'm a woman, I'm supposed to look like this, and what do people think about me, and I have to do this to please someone else, you know, da 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 da. And this is happening so fast, you know, and all of a sudden you just find yourself being surrounded by all these like patching, like, what do you call patch? Can you make a blanket out of small
patchwork.
There's just like a big patchwork. You're just surrounded by this patchwork, you know, and you're like all in it, and you cannot organize all those pieces. And I kind of felt like I was trapped in some trap. I could not move. I didn't know where to go. And I just realized that there must be something else in this life. You cannot be just caught up in this patchwork, you know, of points of views. And then you get kind of desperate, you know, like, God, is this really my life? And there is something that, you know, I have to do about it, but I don't know why. It just feels like this feeling that there must be more to it. So what I realize now, I was looking for freedom, but what I actually was doing back then, I was just like adopting new points of view to make a new patchwork, like inside that, you know, world that I had. For example, if someone's saying to me like, you should live this life because you are this age and you are going to have this education and you're going to work with this, then I would do like the exactly opposite. I would say like, I would never have kids, I would never buy this house, I would never get married, you know? But I realized that was also new points of view. So I took these new points of view and built myself like a new world. So this wall between me and like the holy positive basic space just became like thicker every time I was doing this, because I was just looking for freedom. But what I was doing, like building higher walls and tighter walls, you know, from other people, because I was just thinking like, this is not the way I want to live. I'm going to find my way. And this, I thought this was freedom, but it was not. And then I just came here and have all the explanations and just, I mean, I didn't have to really go behind the patchwork because I was inside of it, and here is the answer, you know? So with that knowledge, it's like those small pieces of patchwork just, you know, dissolves into, I don't know, space. I don't know other ways to explain it. I hope you understand my
beautiful. It's beautiful.
So that is actually completely freedom. And what are the actual benefits, like benefits that you can really, like, this is the benefits of this course, would be that I wake up in the morning and I have so much energy and I just want to go out there and just meet all the beautiful people and just walk down the street and sing a song and, you know, just want to touch people and I don't know. And when you're just out there and you just want to give so much of yourself without any motive, because all my life kind of been like about motives, like I will do this for you and you will like me, or you would show your appreciation in some way that will make me feel even better, you know? So none of this anymore. I can just like give, and to give is the reward, mm-hmm. You say? Yeah. So yeah. It's absolutely like you're saying, it feels like you're constantly in love, just flying. And also with the knowledge that, I mean, after this course, I just felt like such a strong belief in myself, and knowing that I was only always this, what I am, and it's perfectly fine what I am, you know? Just makes you so self-confident, and yeah. I don't know what more to say. There are so many benefits. I don't know. I can make a list, but I can't think about them right now. And one benefit is, before the course, I would probably never have been sitting here, like speaking to you, because it would have made me so nervous. So yeah, I'm so happy that you all are here, and that you're doing this for yourself and in the end for everybody, because this is love. This love is for everybody. Yeah, that's all I have to say about it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Does anyone have questions for Pietra or for me? Any questions or doubts that I can clear for you? Yes.
Regarding the thought, you were saying it's all one, like awareness, I understand that. The only thing is, the thought itself, you say it's awareness, I kind of understand that. But at the same time, there's a part of get caught in the thought, and you say, it seems like the so-called technique or whatever way to is to just relax. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, aware if both, I understand that I remember one friend that I used sometimes to go with, he was saying awareness and consciousness, the two separation, just to say that one is consciousness in time and one is just awareness or something like that, but just to make the distinction between the thought, movement, and what is around. Mm-hmm. But the thing that I trying to understand is when you talk that it's all awareness, even the thought, but the thought is also illusion, or it's at the same time. So can it be both things at the same time? Illusion and awareness?
There's a lot in that question. To make it totally simple, there only is awareness, a wholly positive basic space of awareness, and that awareness is vast, like infinite space. All points of view, no matter what they are, included within that awareness. We don't need to say anything other than that. When I say that points of view are like a mirage or like a rainbow, I say they are like a mirage, like a rainbow. I don't say they are a mirage or illusion or an illusion. There is an enormous distinction between the two. As long as there is an illusion, there is duality. As long as there is an illusion, there is duality. As long as there are all these layers of explanations about what's going on, that there's consciousness, this, that, and the other thing, all these are points of view. When we just rest naturally for short moments, repeated many times, it becomes easeful, and it becomes permanent, and it just becomes more and more the natural reality of our own being, and we realize that, like Pietra said, to already be the case. Everything changes, but nothing changes. We just realize our essence of awareness. So, for example, take up a frame of reference that everything is an illusion, then that'll just be a frame of reference about what everything is. But when there's no need to be anything other than awareness, then no matter what occurs, no frame of reference is required. When we rest naturally for short moments, repeated many times, and I can guarantee this to you, resting naturally for short moments many times, it becomes automatic. At first, maybe the first few days or so, there's no way to say what the case will be for you. It might be an instant, or it could be all day. We have no idea. But even if it is an instant, that will be an instant of natural rest, and that instant will grow longer and longer. And soon it'll be minutes, and then it'll be a half an hour, and then an hour, and then hours, and then days, and then months, and then years. So you see, if we're trying to get to awareness by examining everything as an illusion or setting up all these contexts or frame of reference for what freedom is, then we can never possibly be free. But if we acknowledge everything to already be who we are, in other words, awareness only, then we're free in every perception. When we don't adopt a frame of reference about what we are, like everything is an illusion, or nothing exists, nothing ever happened, nothing is, it's all a dream. If we adopt any of those, then we have a fixed idea of what freedom is. And that fixed idea of freedom will never sustain us. we'll come up against something where that fixed idea of freedom will absolutely not sustain us. But when we're free as every perception, no matter what it is, and I don't mean we enter into the perception or anything like that, we just rest naturally, the perception arises, it disappears like the flight path of a bird in the sky. The more we do so, the more it's obvious that everything is awareness only. Then no matter what perception arises, we're timelessly free. Nothing can undo what we already are. But if we are constantly focused on a state or some kind of context, that can't support us. You know, we'll eventually face something that'll be very difficult for us to handle, and we won't be able to maintain that frame of reference. I've seen it happen over and over again in the last 24 years. Say we adopt a context of something like emptiness. Everything is empty. There's nothing other than emptiness. Nothing ever happened. Nothing exists. Any of these things. And then all of a sudden we're in some very difficult situation. Our whole family die. Or, you know, our child is run over by a car or something like that. You see, there's no way that a frame of reference can support us in something like that. The only thing that can support us is the reality of what we are, freedom as the immediate perception of whatever is occurring. Say we develop a catastrophic illness or whatever it is. Say the Chinese invade the US or Europe or whatever it is, you know. So these things that are unexpected, when we're free as every perception, then we're free no matter what occurs. We're free in every circumstance without needing to have any context for what that is. The perception is freedom. The perception is freedom. It's always been the case and it always will be. Anything else is a dualistic teaching. Even though it may say it's non-duality, it's dualistic. It's as simple as that. And of course, too, we all die. We all die so that when we're entirely free as the immediacy of every perception and we grow and grow as the unremitting joy of that, then we're also prepared for our own death. Any of these thoughts we have occurring as our own awareness in any moment, and no matter how challenging they may be, no matter how sticky they may seem to be to us, there's no perception that's ever going to be more of a challenge than our own death. But you see, when we rest freely, when we rest just naturally as the essence of our being, then we're prepared no matter what occurs. We're relaxed, we're at ease, we're free. So the great reality of timeless freedom is one of utter relaxation without limitation, without context, without frame of reference, where absolutely no frame of reference is needed or ever occurred. Just a single blissful expanse. Does that answer your question? Hmm?
A lot.
A lot? Is there something more?
I'm aware that the mind was always something more. At the same time, yeah, I think that, you know, I understood in a way.
I have a suggestion for you. Begin with the end of mind. Begin with the end of mind. So, you know, the mind is a point of view too. There's no thing called a mind that then has all these other points of view in it that is somehow in a boxing match with awareness. Do you see what I mean? There's only awareness. If the point of view mind occurs, it's just a point of view. It's equal to any other point of view, like dog, cat, wireless transmitter, whatever it is. begin with the end of mind. I didn't say no mind, I just said begin with the end of mind. Why think, you know, that there's a mind that we need to get rid of? The mind is just a point of view like any other. What experiences mind? You know, what is the mind and to whom? There's awareness only, and then once in a while this little spurt occurs called mind. But it's nothing but pure space. Mind is pure space. Ego is pure space. Personal identity is pure space. All emotional states, positive, negative, and neutral, are pure space. All thoughts, positive, negative, and neutral, are pure space. All sensations, positive, negative, and neutral, are pure space. All conduct, positive, negative, and neutral, are pure space. And when we just rest naturally as that totally free reality where nothing need be done, you know, it may sound like a total irresponsibility or immorality, but we inherently are moral and ethical. And this is all very natural. We don't need to drum up any system of ethics. But you see, it's so incongruous in a way, because we learn we have to be virtuous in all of this, but virtue, true virtue, lies in the equalness of everything. Isn't that amazing? So it kind of turns everything upside down that we've learned. But this is okay, you know, it really is. There's nothing to be afraid of or to doubt, and if a fear occurs or a doubt occurs, all of those are pure space too. There's no place to hole up. You know, there's never been anyone who's fixated on or identified with anything. So there's nothing to demolish or destroy or eradicate or change or shift around or anything at all. There's only this complete relaxation as the immediacy of whatever is occurring. Pure space. Yes?
What is the intent in this space of natural relaxation and awareness? There's peace, freedom, silence, even love coming along with it.
And what was the last thing you said?
Love.
A laugh?
Love.
Oh, love, uh-huh. Oh, yes, we could say all of that. But none of those are a position to take up about it. Do you see what I mean? If anything that we use to describe the indescribable is just pure space. It's in one moment it might be love, but that's pure space. In another, it's silence. That might be pure space. But if we say that awareness is that, like it's, awareness is love, awareness is silence, awareness is this, awareness is that, then we develop a context. No context is needed. If we wanted to describe awareness, the most potent description we could give is indescribable. Indescribable, the indescribable openness of indivisible natural presence. That, yeah, what do we have to say about that? And we can have all kinds of exalted feelings that occur within that. That's what is meant by such things as enlightened body, speech, and mind. Enlightened body, speech, and mind is the vast expanse of infinite space. That is our true body, speech, and mind. And when we rest naturally, we realize more and more that our body, speech, and mind is this vast expanse rather than an idea of being a personal somebody. And a natural emanation of that holy positive basic space is magnificence. It's just sheer magnificence of a kind that could never be imagined, whether it's called love or whatever it is. Whether it's called joy or whatever it is, when it comes to describing it in a simple human way, in terms of, you know, how we feel when we go about our day, I thought Pietra gave an incredible description. There's this naturalness of ease and joy in all relations with nothing going on. There's no need to have any kind of fixed way of describing anything, because everything, no matter what it is entirely free in its own place. What could be more of an expression of love than that when everything is included? So, you know, this, when I suggest this to rest naturally without seeking anything, rest naturally without describing anything, we could call that the ultimate mantra, the ultimate yoga. It's like a full body mantra, a full body yoga that is vast like space, because so quickly we realize who we are. When we just stop all the speculation, just bring it to a halt about a description or a context or a way we need to be or a way we need to act or certain thoughts we need to have or certain emotional states we need to have or certain hours we need to spend meditating or whatever it is. What could be more of a meditation than the meditation that includes everything as its meditation? The meditationless meditation. Isn't this the goal of all meditation? That it be completely pervasive of all daily activities? So why not start with all daily activities rather than setting it out? Freedom, complete freedom as every single perception. This is all that natural rest is. Timelessly the greatest of all mantras, timelessly the greatest of all meditations, timelessly the greatest of yogas. The yoga that's already accomplished, the mantra that's already accomplished, the meditation that's already accomplished with nothing needing to be done. Something more? Something more? Do you have a question, Carrie?
No.
No.
Of course.
No. More and more you realize that no matter what it is, the questions, the doubts, the desires, the anger, the work, the romances, the relationships, the making love, everything about life, all these things we love to do, they're just pure space. Pure space. You know, there's nothing we need to change. Nothing we need to change. And that's truly wondrous. It's truly wondrous.
Also, I mean, a definition in the moment, one doesn't really experience it in its totality, then it's very easy that that becomes a pattern to avoid. It's like to avoid emotion, to avoid, it's just all pure space, it's just all God, it's whatever, but one doesn't really experience it in its cellular level, then it becomes another fake. Whatever the religion or whatever, the danger is there. I'm not saying it's good, I'm just saying one listens to the words and adopts them, it becomes easy again a kind of a mantra that whatever.
Just go out and try what I'm saying and see what happens. I don't need to convince anybody. It comes through, no, I'm just saying, you know, it comes through your own direct experience. Now, here's something very interesting. What I'm suggesting to you is not some kind of dissociative behavior. It's not a dissociative behavior. When we rest naturally in an uncontrived way, we find that the floodgates of compassion are thrown open. Not only are they thrown open, but they're torn off. You know, they don't even exist. All there is unremitting compassion. So, you know, that comes about because, first of all, we realize that everything about us, all of the thoughts we've had, past, present, or future, that we haven't liked about ourselves, all of our emotional states, all of our conduct, all of this is nothing but pure space, nothing but a wholly positive expanse of infinite vast space. And as we realize that, we have so much compassion for what we've put ourselves through, taking ourselves to be a wolf. And when that compassion arises for ourselves, it arises as a warmth in our body. So this isn't something cut off from our simple reality of human experience. We feel a warmth that wells within us. A warmth of compassion, a warmth of bliss that fills all of our being and then extends into infinite space. And that warmth and compassion is inclusive of everyone. See, this is a compassion that can never be cultivated. It can't be cultivated or developed. It already is. And we become aware of it only in natural rest. Now, you see, this is beyond causality. So I can't put together some kind of a system of cause and effect in order to try to make you understand it through a system of reason or logic. I can only suggest to you resting naturally in an uncontrived way and showing yourself definitively who you are. That's all. And I can suggest this to you because it's my own direct experience. It's my own direct experience. Not only for me, but for countless others, so you see. If we are saying, oh, everything's pure space, everything's pure space, everything's pure space, and using it as a context, that isn't natural rest. But when we rest as the pure space of every perception, that is natural rest. It's not a mental support that we use to try to describe everything. Resting naturally, just resting naturally, is the essence of awareness. That which is aware, that's all. Awareness, the root of every experience. Something more? We'll sit quietly for a few minutes.